Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time,
you covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Pastor, how you doing?
I'm doing great,
big,
Mike.
Big smile on your face.
I'm doing great.
Glad you could make it. Man, I'll tell you what, you're never 10 minutes early. You're normally about 3 minutes. Me shaking my head. It's good to see you, Pastor.
It's good to be here, Mike. Good to have Coach Grant with us.
Well, you know, and before we get to him, I want to thank the head coach at Butler. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Laval Jordan. Look, he was so good in studio and just a really good man. And it was so fun to learn about him and his background. And when we asked him, you know, hey, do you have any other guys that, you know, you're friends with that might be a good fit for this show? He immediately, without hesitation, said Earl Grant. And I said, can you tell me a little bit more about him? And he said, look, he's a really good college basketball coach, and he's perfect for a show like this. And I said, as he left, I said, Coach, I hope you stay in Milwaukee a long time. He said, I think we will. 24 hours later, boom, gone. Off to Butler. And I'm telling you, that was a good decision for him.
Yeah,
Butler Bulldogs, you know what? His home, exactly where I think him and his family wanted to be. Our special guest today, Colonial Athletic Association Coach of the Year. We don't just get anybody on this show. Head men's basketball coach at the College of Charleston, the Mighty Cougars, Coach Earl Grant. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, Coach, what is Charleston, South Carolina like? My boss here is from North Carolina. I asked him a little bit about Charleston, South Carolina, and he just raved about that town.
Yeah, you know, it's a neat city. Obviously, it's a very tropical-type place because of the being so close to the coastline and the palm trees and things of that nature. And, you know, actually, from my office, I can pretty much see the Atlantic Ocean from my office. And so, you know, it's a hidden gem. It's always rated one of the best cities in the world to visit, one of the best places to go in terms of beauty of the campus. But just a very friendly place, a lot of good people, fantastic restaurants, you know, so it's a really neat place.
Hey, Coach Grant, this is Pastor Ken. I've had opportunity to be in Charleston. I love it. My friend sent me down there in February from Wisconsin. We were kind of looking forward to that, and it was 72 when we hit Charleston. And you were probably down there. It was only a couple, 3 years ago. And the next day we got up, it went all the way down to 9 degrees, killed all the tropical plants. I thought, I brought all Wisconsin with
you're
me.
You're never invited back.
So
yeah, it can be a little bipolar from time to time, but most times it's pretty consistent.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what happened that time, but I'll tell you one thing. We ate at what's it called, the Pink House? Is there a
was it the Fleet Landing or was it the
it was a pink house, and I mean they had the best chicken fried chicken I've ever had in my life. So
wow.
if you haven't found that pink house, find it. It is a good place.
Chicken fried chicken?
Yeah, chicken fried chicken, man. It was awesome.
Where do you find that here in Wisconsin?
You buy a Cracker Barrel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm a connoisseur of chicken fried chicken, buddy.
Hey, Cheesecake doesn't have that?
Yeah, no.
No, they don't have that. Hey, Coach, let's talk a little bit about your upbringing, where you were raised and how you ended up being the head coach of the College of Charleston. What city did you grow up in?
Well, I grew up in Charleston.
You did?
I was born and raised here, and you know, I came up, and when I was in high school, we had a really good player at my high school that signed on to play at the College of Charleston. His name was Anthony Johnson. And he came here and played for legendary coach John Kress, who was here for 20 years and really developed a great program, taking College of Charleston from the NAIA level to the, it was the TAC back then, but it was, that league is now the Atlantic Sun. They went from NAIA to that TAC league. That's now the Atlantic Sun. They really did a great job of dominating that league. And then they went on to the Southern Conference where they were rivals with Davidson. And they 1 year swept that league 21-0. And so, but Coach Kress was a guy that he's a mentor of mine now, but I would work his basketball camps back in the late 90s. And that's really how the connection with me and the College of Charleston, obviously growing up here and then working Coach Kress camps. And it's where I met Greg Marshall, because when I was growing up here, Greg Marshall was an assistant coach here at the College of Charleston. And so that's how I ended up working with him at Winthrop and Wichita State, you know, through that connection. But grew up here, and, you know, my first Division I coaching job was back here at the Citadel, which is a military institute here in the city of Charleston. And then I went away for years and working at different universities, Winthrop and Wichita State and Clemson, and then was very fortunate to, you know, to get my first head coaching job back in my hometown.
Well, you know, that song, You Can Come Home, right? And it's always a great story, I think, when kid comes home to his hometown and does really good stuff. Coach, you went to R.B. Stahl High School. Did you play multiple sports, or were you a basketball only guy?
Yeah, I played. You know, I played a little bit of everything. I started out playing baseball, basketball, and football. And then, you know, obviously, baseball is one of those sports you can't continue to play by yourself. You can't go to the park and, you know, and count down 3-2-1 and make a shot.
Right.
So I kind of gave up baseball, and I was still going back and forth with basketball and football. And, you know, and then my senior year, I kind of played, I played both. I still was playing basketball and football. After giving football up for my sophomore and junior year, I went back out my senior year, and we actually came one game away from winning the state title in football. And, you know, then obviously for basketball, I had some opportunities to go to college. So I stuck with that, and I was able to sign on. I played a lot of small college ball, 2 years at Spartanburg Methodist, which is a junior college, and then 2 years at Georgia College, which is a Division II school. It's actually where I started my coaching career as a graduate assistant as well.
Yeah, you had a lot of success at Georgia College, two consecutive Peach Belt Conference championships, Elite Eight, in the 2000 NCAA tournament. Did you know, Coach, at an early age that coaching basketball was something that was going to be in your future?
I had no idea at an early age. You know, when I was in junior college, my sophomore year, I guess would be the first time that I really realized that, you know, coaching was something that I wanted to do, because I was playing on the team at Spartanburg Methodist as a obviously freshman and sophomore year, but there were some guys on campus who tried to be a part of the team and would come out every year and try out for the team, and they would never make the team. They would get cut. And what I found was I ended up having an intramural team that I would, those guys who got cut, I would put them on a team, and we had an intramural team. So I would go to practice. We would practice for 2.5 hours. We would work hard, do what we had to do, and then later that afternoon, I would get my intramural team, and we would go play a game on campus. And so that year, my sophomore year in college, coaching that intramural team made me realize that, you know, it's pretty neat to get a group of guys together and get them to work for a common cause, and, you know, and just share with each other and try to help each other be better. So I think that's the first time that it really, you know, came into my heart that maybe coaching is something that I wanted to do. And then working the camps, you know, working different camps at different universities, you would coach the young kids, and I could kind of feel my passion for the station work and coaching the teams. But I thought I wanted to do high school, never thought about college. I was convinced I wanted to do high school. And then, you know, I was very fortunate and very blessed to get Division I opportunities God opened a lot of doors for me that I wasn't even looking for. And so I just was very fortunate at a young stage.
Hey, Coach, that was a great opportunity at Wichita State. I've always kind of kept my eye on the Shockers because my whole family, my dad, my mom, everybody grew up in Wichita. And so I spent a lot of time in Wichita and caught a few back in the early days of Wichita State, but they had a big rivalry at that time with Tulsa University, but I think they're in separate conferences now. But your time in Wichita was good?
You know, it was great. I learned a lot. We had just left Winthrop University, and we had a great season, went 29-4, actually won at Marquette in a Pepsi Colt and a Pepsi Classic. We won the tournament at Marquette and went 29-4 our last year at Winthrop, beat Notre Dame in the first round of the tournament, NCAA tournament, and we went to Wichita State, and all of a sudden we go 9-25.
Ooh.
And that first
Ooh, that's
year,
reality so, right there.
Ooh. Yeah, and so year two, you're talking about a humbling experience. In year two, we started out the year 6-12, 0-7, and we had Creighton come into town, and they were top 25. And I was like, man, you know, this is very, very, it's going to be tough. I don't know if we're going to win another game. And you know, it just was very hard to get that program going. But the one thing that I recognized when we were 6-12, 0-7, was I looked around in the gym and it was a whiteout and it was 10,000 fans.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, why are they here to look at this? And we won that game. And needless to say, we went on to go 17-17 that year. And then the next year we went 25-10. And then, you know, it just kept going from there. But very, very unbelievable program with rabid fans and people who love basketball. And you know, but it was good to go through that humbling experience there as an assistant, because it's very similar to what we've gone through here at the College of Charleston up until the same point, you know, trying to build a program and then finally you get to the point where you have some success. So I guess what you learned is it's good to be humbled first.
Yeah. Yeah. Coach, last question before we get to your break. Don't you, as a basketball coach myself, isn't it's so difficult to teach kids how to win? You know, losing is really easy. It's an easy thing. You can lose, you know, every day of the week, but to get a group of kids who are used to losing, to get them over the hump and get them a taste of winning, and when there's 2 minutes to go in the game and you're down by three, for them not to go, oh, here we go again. Did you find that to be a real challenge?
Well, you know, early when I first got here, in year one, yes. In year two, a little bit, I found that a little bit that it was hard to get those guys to believe and get over the hump, because it gets to the point, especially if you lose consecutive close games, it gets to the point where it's late game and guys start believing. They start, the doubt start to creep in and the fear of losing start to creep in. And so, but you know, as you continue to grow with a group, I think, and you practice every day and you talk about core values and you take your mind off of the end result of winning and just put your mind, wrap your mind around the day-to-day process of what does it take to win? What does it take to win? How do you go about it each and every day in practice? And then the guys start building some confidence and some get some hope about the future. And you win a few close games and then the tide can turn. So that's what's happened to us. You know, our players are starting to really believe that if we stay true to our core values and we win off the court, you know, in the classroom, in the community, that it'll translate onto the court. And that's kind of, I think if you can teach them how to win in the classroom and in the community and make good decisions and be good people, then it'll translate. So that's what I've tried to do, and we're still trying to do it now.
He is the head basketball coach at the College of Charleston. He is Earl Grant. Last year, 25-10. Overall, 25-10, made an appearance in the NIT, and we'll talk to Coach Grant more on the other side of the break room, talk to him a little bit about his faith, his testimony, and how it's affected his life professionally and personally. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by All American Window and Door. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Our special guest, he is the head men's basketball coach at the College of Charleston, the Mighty Cougars. He's also Colonial Athletic Associate Coach of the Year last year, and he's starting his fourth year at the College of Charleston. He is Coach Earl Grant. Coach, in the second segment, we'd sure like to talk to our guests a little bit about their walk and where it began and ask them to share their testimony with us. And then we've got some follow-up questions after that. Can you talk a little bit about your faith and where it started?
Yeah, you know, I think it started just with my mom. You know, my mom was, I had my mom and dad in the house growing up, but my mom did a great job of just really instilling in me at an early age how important it was to serve people. And she kept us in church. She kept us in the children's church. We were involved in the church. And so, you know, at a young age, I mean, I was in church every Sunday. And there was times that maybe I didn't want to go because we would be there all day. You know, in the Southern Baptist Church, you know, you go at 8 a.m. for Bible study or Sunday school, and then you go to church, and then after church they want to eat a big buffet meal, and so we'd be in there from 8 to 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was like a school day, so I really, at a young age, didn't realize how important it would be, this the seeds that were being planted at that age about your faith and trusting in God and actually, you know, learning how to pray, asking God to order your steps, and just a peace that comes from that, you know, from knowing that there's a bigger purpose and it's, you know, it ain't all about you and just being able to serve people and being humble and understanding that, you know, reaping and sowing is real, you know, what you put in, what you get out. So I think this at a young age, her having me involved, there was a lot of seeds that were planted in me. And, you know, on my day-to-day walk now, as a coach, as a leader, as a father, as a husband, you know, it all comes back up. You know, it's hard to, you know, think about how my life would be as a husband, father, leader of the program, or somebody that's, you know, trying to help this community, Charleston community. I don't know how I would be able to do it without the help that I get from God and Him, you know, ordering my steps and, you know, and giving me encouragement every day.
Yeah, so I'm always thankful for those that had godly parents and took them to church, and I grew up in that environment too. I was really thankful, and so I came at a time early in my life, Coach, that I put my trust in Christ, and I remember it was a Sunday night after church. Do you remember, was it obviously then when you were young that you made that decision?
You know, I don't know 100%. For sure, there was a time when I was young that I can say that it was like a definite time that I made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think those seeds were planted in me, and then I think I went off. When I think about it, I went off to college, and you know, my first year or two in college, I found myself not going to church,
mm-hmm.
And then eventually I found a church that was good for me, and you find good quality men. Mentors, older guys that were feeding into my life, and I watched the joy they had, and I was trying to figure out why they got so much joy, and I think they inspired me, you know, to mm-hmm. want to be like them, and mm-hmm. so having good mentors, mm-hmm. People to watch and follow, I think is one of the reasons that seed was planted in me. And I wanted to be like that. I wanted to be filled with that same joy. And what you realize is, and I tell my players all the time, you know, I'm nothing without God. I mean, I'm empty without God, and I'll be lost without God. So I have to make sure that I go as much as I can each and every day and seek guidance and look for wisdom and read the Bible and do devotions And then the thing that helped me is just, again, having good other good men like Lavelle Jordan, you know, Dale Clayton is one of my mentors. He's the guy that him and a few other guys started Nations of Coaches, which is, you know, Coach Mo, Athletes in Action, you know, down in Dayton, Ohio. You know, these guys just fed into my life, and, you know, and I think you got to have people around you that's feeding into you. And other Christian coaches that are trying to build programs and are having success, and they understand that it ain't about them, mm-hmm. and, you know, how important it is to have a relationship with God and seek guidance each and every day. And so I think just having people to fellowship with helps, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had several coaches on that said had a little bit of similar testimony. They were kind of drugged to church growing up, and then they got away from going to church, and then they came in contact with someone who, as you were talking about, had just great joy, and they wanted to know, man, where does that come from? And right. Usually it comes from that decision to put my faith totally and my trust totally in Jesus Christ. You know, as my Savior, He's the only one who can save me. And you think of the love that God had for us and sending His Son to take on all that He did for us, take our sin. So it's important, and I think that's awesome, Coach, that you had some guys there like many others of our guests have had that have invested and shared with them that message. And those seeds were planted early on, and I'm grateful for moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that really do that with their kids.
You know, it's interesting, Pastor and Coach, the more we do Faith in the Zone, the more it comes up that it's so important to have men that are willing to talk about and willing to get up on the mountaintop, as we say in this mm-hmm. on this show, because it seems like younger guys, 20, 25 in that age, that are even 18, 19, that are thinking about trying to get back into church where their mom and grandmother had brought them to. And then when they walk into a church, if they can see, you know, older men that like Coach said, have joy and are willing to talk about their life with these guys, it's mm-hmm. just really important. And Pastor, you're the head of a church. You understand the importance of having good, godly men in that church.
Well, we say it often, as the men go, so goes our church. And that's true. That's true in our nation. It's true in our communities. You know, good, godly men. And we've gotten away, you know, obviously our country's gotten away from the Lord. I mean, the one guy I remember, Turner Gill, he's coaching at Liberty now.
Correct.
And after Nebraska, I think, won the Division I championship one year, I mean, the first thing he said was, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the next thing you know, the mic was taken away. And that's kind of why the whole Faith in the Zone program started. We wanted guys to be able to talk about their Lord, about their Savior, and not have the mic shut off. And so, you know, Coach, I'm thankful for you coming on and sharing with us. I'm thankful for Mike setting all this up, because I know it's a challenge each week, because I don't think there's very many programs like this on air today. And so we're grateful.
And, you know,
yeah,
Coach,
thank you, guys.
Coach, when you talk about, is it Dale Clayton or Del Clayton from the Nation?
Dale Clayton. Dale Clayton.
Yep, and, Nations of Coaches. You know, guys like that are planting seeds all over the country and trying to help coaches with their walk. It's so important to have guys like that are investing their time and investing their heart into coaches throughout the country. You know, we need to pray for guys like that on a daily basis.
No, absolutely. I mean, you got it. For me and all other coaches and all other fathers and, you know, guys, I mean, you got to have people that'll feed into you. And you know, and I think that the hardest thing that you have to realize, and I have to talk to my staff about this all the time, is, you know, it's hard to serve two masters. So there's a certain way we try to go about our business each and every day, and an example we try to set for our players. And so I try to tell my coaches, we gotta be the example, because, you know, I can't say on one hand I love the Lord and how good God has been to me, and that I'm a trust in God, and how important we got to understand that we can't control everything, but you know, but if we can have some faith and trust in God, that's the most important thing. It's hard to do that and then go out there and run around like a maniac and cuss all the time and not be a good example. And so we try to, as hard as we push our guys, you know, I try to tell my staff to coach out of love. And that way, you know, that's the fruit of the spirit. I mean, yeah. People see it when they walk in the gym and, you know, we don't need to be cussing. We don't need to be acting like lunatics, because for me personally, I would like for my wife or my kids or any one of my staff, wife or kids, if they had to walk through the gym for 5 minutes, that they actually know the coaches that are on the floor. It's the same people that they see at home.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We try to be a good example for our players. And I know everybody can't do it that way, but that's just the way we try to do it here.
You know, we've talked a lot about Coach on our program with Mike on platform and how God gives. It's just awesome to see how God will give believers that are in the athletic world, whether they be coaches or players, platform. You know, to be able to share Jesus Christ with those they come in contact with, because like Mike and I have talked about, I mean, people are searching, you know, for answers today. I mean, like what happens when I die? And to see the opportunities and the platform God's given to you. And, you know, man, I tell you, you get around, and I know in our day we have to have wisdom in how we talk to people. I mean, Christ even said that to his disciples. He said, you need to go out and be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. But yet, with how you just talked about how you want to coach and how you want to live, you don't want it to be hypocritical. You want it to be real on both sides. I mean, that makes people thirsty to want to know, hey, what do you have that I don't have? And so I would just encourage you, yeah, keep pressing on for the King. That's a great testimony, Coach.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, keep doing that and then play man-to-man defense. Make sure you get on the line, up the line, play some D.
Absolutely.
Hey, Coach, last thing before we get to a break, we had a Division III coach from Indiana. I've told this story a couple of times, but he talked about how easy it was for him to share his faith in the locker room. But once he got outside of the locker room, he really struggled in that church. He took a class on how to be an evangelist. He read some books. And he read a book called I'm Not a Fan. And he spent the extra $3 and got one of those small, those rubber bracelets that you put on. And on that it said, I'm not a fan. And he was walking through the grocery store and someone saw it and said, who aren't you a fan of? And he said, I'm not a fan of Jesus Christ. And the woman said, what? And he said, I'm not a fan because fans sit on the sidelines. I'm a follower. Can I tell you about it? And he said all this time and energy and he'd spent, and all it took was a $3 bracelet for the Lord to open those doors for him. And I just love that story. Any chance I get to tell other coaches that story, I do. Guys, we got to get to a break. Our special guest, he's a real good one. He is the head men's basketball coach, the College of Charleston. He is Earl Grant. And we'll continue our conversation with him on the other side. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, and my co-host is an upset co-host, Pastor Ken Keltner, Brookside Baptist Church. The whole break, we're arguing zone or man-to-man. And you know what I love? Is the coach of the year in the Colonial Athletic Association.
He agreed with me.
Coach of the year. He said, nah, man, I like playing man. My special guest is Earl Grant. Yeah, Coach, at Calvary Baptist, we had 67 kids in the whole school, 7 boys on the basketball team, and our biggest kid was Pastor Ken's kid. He was 6'3", and we were supposed to teach that Syracuse kind of matchup where the forwards come way out, and their forwards are all about 6'8", with the long wingspan. Our kid, our 3 was about a 6'1", kid who'd never played basketball before, but yeah, it was good. Ken, you're giving me that look, Pastor. I see the look. I see. You know, Coach, I coached all the Pastor Ken has four sons, and I coached them all. And I see you have three boys, correct?
Yeah, three boys.
How old are they?
10, 9, and 6.
Hey, Coach, enjoy every minute of it.
Every minute of it.
It goes by so fast. I used to tell Kathy, she goes, you know, the boys just love jumping on you and kind of hitting on you. And I go, honey, I call those black and blue love marks. I love them.
Absolutely.
Hey, do any of the boys like basketball? Are they basketball kids?
Well, you know, yeah, they all love, I don't know if they love basketball. You know, I'm in that mode of, my wife tells me I need to coach them more and coach them harder. And I tell her all the time, I just want to love them. I want to be their dad.
Yeah,
you know,
that's good.
So I hadn't really pushed it on them, but, you know, they go to all of our camps in the summer. And my 10 and 9-year-old are just getting to the point now where when I get home, they're saying, Dad, can we go outside and get a workout in?
Ooh.
So we've been working out lately, and it's just kind of started. I wanted it to be initiated by them and not by me. And so anytime they ask, I just drop whatever I'm doing, and we go right outside. And so they've been asking lately, and so I like that. And they're starting to play one-on-one. You know, my 10-year-old is very competitive. My 9-year-old is afraid to lose, and so sometimes he didn't want to play one-on-one with his older brother. But now it's starting to get heated. They're starting to go after each other, and I like that, you know. And I told him, hey, look, you guys are fortunate. When I was 9, I would have loved to have a 10-year-old brother.
Yeah.
And when I was 10, I would have loved to have a 9-year-old brother. So make each other better, you know?
Hey, Coach, one thing I'll tell you, as they keep getting older, you might have to be the referee a few times, because I would see the boys, you know, they'd play for Mike and whatever, but, man, you get them in the driveway against one another, I mean, that was another whole level.
A whole
nother
level.
Oh, it's another level. Kathy'd say, you got to go out there and ref. They're getting in fights right now.
You know, Coach, when Trey, he's 10, when he's about to go to high school, you know, there's a high school here in the city of Milwaukee that I'm coaching. I can't recruit, but I can recommend and highly suggest. You send him up here. We'll get him going. We'll get him going. Is he a point guard or big?
You know, he don't pass it enough to be a point guard. He always talks about how many points he make at camp. So I think he's a shooting guard.
Okay, that's all right. We need those.
I think my second boy Isaiah is more of a point guard. He likes to share the ball, and you know, he actually shoots it better than my 10-year-old, but he passes it more.
So
I think he's more of a point.
Man, I love that. Like Pastor said, I envy you. Because you've got some great things with these kids, and certainly any chance that you get to spend time with them, take it, because it goes by so quick. Our sons all played Division III college athletics, and my son Matthew went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College here in Wisconsin, and I remember the day his senior year, the last game that he played. If they won, they got to go to nationals. They lost, and it just ends quickly, abruptly, and painfully. And that was my, I mean, I coached him in high school, then I went and watched him. In fact, Coach, my wife and I never sat next to each other for one of his games. She told me I didn't cheer correctly.
Really?
I don't really know what that means, Coach. What do you mean I don't cheer
correctly?
That means
more encouragement.
Yeah, more encouragement than shoot the ball better, and I'll encourage you. That's what I would say. You know what? To get in the gap, the kids just hit four in a row. Get in the gap and kick it to him, because he's just hit four in a row type stuff.
I'm trying to figure out what to do at the games. You know, obviously it's a lower level. It's a rec game. So I just sit there. I don't say a word. And my wife, you know, she's animated, telling them to run down the floor or shoot the ball, and I'm just sitting in. I don't say a word. I mean, I might clap my hands a couple of times, but I just sit there.
Well,
you know, and then we ride home, and I don't say a whole lot. I listen to them. And if it went really good, I'll listen to them. If it went really bad, I'll listen to them. And then I'll wait for them to open up the door for me to say what I need to say. So I'm trying to figure it out. I mean, I tell you, it's interesting.
You know, two things with that. Pastor Ken's wife, Kathy, who was a mom of some of the kids I was coaching, used to tape the games for me. And she sometimes would forget that the sound was on, so I could hear my pastor's wife or the mom of some of the kids I'm coaching, who is not happy with some of the decisions that the coaching staff was making.
Want you to go zone. Want you to go zone.
Yeah, they
coach.
Or, you need to put my son back in, type thing. And secondly, coach, I have to tell you, my son Matthew played in a rec league it's called Wauwatosa here, and they were in a game, and it was near the end, and the deal was, when the other team got the rebound, you couldn't press. So you had to go back and pick up at half court. He's a little guy at this point. And his team was up by one. The other team shot and missed. They got the rebound and handed him the ball. And he stood there and waited.
Really?
And waited. And the coach said, come on, go, go, go. And he shook his head. And the coach is looking at me. And he goes, go, go, go. And Matthew's watching the clock. And he took a timeout. And there was 9 seconds to go. And the coach said, what are you doing? He said, coach, just inbound the ball to me in the backcourt. They can't press. We win. And their coach burst out laughing. Yeah. And he burst out laughing. He looked at me, and I said, don't look at me. I didn't know that. I didn't teach him that. So I knew I had a little point guard, I thought, on my hands that, you know, he was – I don't think he was so gifted athletically, but he was a pretty smart kid and handled the ball pretty well. Hey, coach, when you recruit for the College of Charleston, how open are you? It's hard not to be open when I hear you talk about your faith and how important it is in your life. When you get into the living room or the kitchen of a kid that you want to come there, you're pretty open with the kind of man that you are?
Yeah, I want him to know, you know, because obviously – number one, they need to know who I am because they need to know who they're coming to play for. And I want them to know that if they come play for me at the College of Charleston, that number one, I always tell them, number one, you got to understand that I love the Lord. I'm nothing without God. I mean, I'm just empty. I'm an empty vessel. I don't, you know, I need God in order to be the man that he wants me to be. And without him, it's like having a driving all the way to Wisconsin right now without a GPS. I can't get there. I mean, I need help. And so, you know, I want them to know that. And then I also want them to know that how important my family is to me, my wife and my kids, and how important it is that they came to play for me, that the more than winning games, I want them to be a better person when they leave. And then I want to help them and show them, me and my staff, my assistant coaches, what it looked like to be a good father, what it looked like to be a good husband, so be an example for them. And so I tell those guys, you know, I want them to know what they're walking into, because some kids come into it and they hadn't been exposed to it, and they don't know, they weren't raised in the church. And to be honest with you, I think if some kids, if they hadn't been raised in the church and nobody really introduced them to God, letting them know that God is a spirit and how important your relationship with God is, sometimes it takes them a while to get adapted to it. And so I want them to know. And if they decide to come, then at least there won't be any surprises when they get there. And but it's room for any young man. It's room to grow here as a person. And that's more important to me than just trying to win a game. Because I think if you grow as a person and you have faith and, you know, you work hard every day, and you're going to win on the court if you got enough talent. You got to have some talent.
You got to have some talent.
But yep. Got to have some talent. But you can get talent that – and they're not good guys, and then you still can lose, because you're going to end up losing some of those kids with some of the decisions that might be made. So you got to get character. I want the kids to know if they come, hey, look, it's bigger than basketball. We want to win championships. I'm the most competitive person you know. We're going to work hard, try to outwork everybody we got on our schedule. But it's bigger than basketball. And I want the kids and I want the families to know that.
Hey, Pastor, doing research for the show, I'm reading the article where it talks about Coach Crampian, the Coach of the Year in the Colonial Athletic Association, that I read about some of his players. One was a first-team all-conference. He was from Orlando, Florida. Second one was double award-winning, garnering the spot. He was from Columbia, South Carolina. Second year in the row, junior guard, selected all-defensive team. From Athens, Georgia. And I'm thinking, man, did they ever come north? And then all of a sudden, there it was, kid from Canton, Ohio. I'm feeling a little better. They got a kid from Canton, Ohio, who was an award winner and the recipient of the the Dean Eller's Leadership Award for his work in the classroom. Coach, we think you need to come up this way a little more to recruit. So you let me know what I can do as a high school coach in this market with the kind of kid that you're looking for. And if there's somebody that fits this from the state of Wisconsin, we play some pretty good ball up here.
Yeah, I know it. And I know it. I've been following the state, and I know there's a lot of good teams, a lot of good programs. And so I would love to try to recruit up there. You know, if Wisconsin and UW, Milwaukee, and Green Bay will let anybody get out of there, I'll be willing to come try to recruit some guys.
That'd be awesome. You when you look, if you go to wissports.net, the team that I'm coaching, we have four of the top 50 sophomores in the state. So we got a chance. We started four sophomores last year, went 23-4, lost in the sectional finals, one game away from going to state. For the first time, coach, that team played like it was a bunch of sophomores. All of a sudden, wow. we're in a gym that was sold out against a senior laden team, and they took it to us pretty good. They were bigger, stronger, had played in big games before. Our kids, they looked little. They started fighting, started yelling at each other a little bit, stopped trusting each other. And all of a sudden, you know, when you've got somebody who gets in the gap and kicks to a wide-open guy, and that guy's now missed three in a row, and all of a sudden he stops coming that way and looks him off a couple times, and something that, you know, some of our guys never done all year, but all of a sudden in a game that size, they started doing some things that, you know, I think when they watch the tape, they're like, what was I thinking? Well, that's what happens when you're a sophomore. Now you become right. A junior. You've been through it. Guys, we got to get to a break. We got a really short fourth segment, but we'll do that. He is Earl Grant, the head men's basketball coach, College of Charleston. If you get a chance, go on that website. If you're a parent of a really quality student athlete that's a basketball player here in the city of Milwaukee, I would highly recommend check out this campus and go to the College of Charleston website and then read up on Earl Grant. And he is a coach that I would want my son to play for, and that's saying a lot, I think. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bunzel's Old Fashioned Meat Market. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Our special guest, he's the head men's basketball coach at the College of Charleston in Charleston, South Carolina. He is Earl Grant. Pastor?
I love to ask the question, Coach. In your coaching, whether it was assistant or whatever, what game do you remember that you think, wow, that was so exciting?
As an assistant or head coach?
Yeah, assistant or head coach. Can you?
I probably would say that maybe number one would be and we played when I was at Winthrop University. We played Notre Dame in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and out in Spokane, Washington.
Wow, that was a trip.
We won. Yeah, we won that game, so we advanced and played Oregon in the second round. So I would say, you know, just beating Notre Dame for a small mid-major at the time to beat Notre Dame, who was top 25 and had really good players. I thought that was a huge, huge win and very exciting. And then I would say this past season, to be honest with you, number two, we were number two in the conference at the time, and UNC Wilmington were number one at the time, and we played at their place. Sellout crowd, you know, 6,200 fans, and we win the game by one late in the game, and so we were tied for first, and so that was a huge win, especially for a program that's been trying to build and get to the top of the hill. I think that was another big one.
Hey, Coach, I read that you signed an extension, I believe, and congratulations on that. College of Charleston is certainly rewarding you for the great job you've done with that program. Future of the program looks bright. You got some guys coming back?
Yeah, we got a really good group returning. We got all of our starters back from last year. A lot of the support cast guys, you know, who came off the bench and made big contributions last year, those guys are returning. And then we got a few new recruits coming in, as well as a couple redshirt freshmen, guys who were on the team last year, who were on the roster, who practiced every day but never got in the game. So we got four new players, and we return all our starters. And so, you know, I'm excited, and I'm looking forward to us trying to continue to build on what we've done thus far.
Coach, do you guys get you out there and want to see if they can outshoot you with on the three-point line or anything?
Yeah, all the time. You know? So, for me, I guess I would be considered a young coach. You know, I'm always out there coaching them and trying to teach them different things. And every now and again, I just jump up and shoot a three. And just so one of my players, Jarrell Brantley, he always have a side joke on the side. He's counting my makes and misses. So, all right, coach, you want for two. You want for two right now. And so every now and again, when I'll be teaching something and I have an opportunity to shoot a shot, I'll catch it and look at the rim and shot fake, but I wouldn't take it. And I said, see, I'm smart. That's good shot selection. I'm one for two. I want to stay at 50%.
Yeah.
Trying to tell them, hey, look, don't take bad shots. But no, every now and again, we'll joke around and shoot it a little bit.
Yeah. We had Mark Jackson on when he was out coaching at Golden State, and I asked him, I said, yeah, I've been wanting to ask you this. Can you beat Steph Curry at horse? He goes, absolutely. In my mind, I can beat Steph Curry, so why do I need to go out and do anything? In my mind, I can beat him.
And I'm never going to have to play. I won't do it.
Yeah.
He keeps asking, and I will not do it. Hey, Coach, I can't thank you enough for your time. And Laval Jordan, again, who is a big fan of yours, and I want to thank him. He is now the head coach at Butler, and he highly recommended that we call you, and we certainly understand why. Have a good summer. Enjoy those your wife and sons, because, man, November, October for you comes pretty quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Once we get to that point, it's coming downhill. The ball is rolling downhill.
Yep.
So it's been great to have time with the family and our players here this summer. And so definitely try to continue to have that balance as we finish up the summer.
That's awesome. Again, he is the head men's basketball coach at the College of Charleston. He is Earl Grant. I really appreciate your time, Coach. In fact, we're at the studio where we're at, where I work every day. There is a guy named Leroy Butler. Do you remember? Does that name ring a bell to you at all?
He played for
Leroy Butler. Played for the Packers.
Played for the Packers,
but went to Florida State. And he's always interested to know who we have on Faith in the Zone. He walked by, and he's smiling, waiting for us to get out so we can tell him about Earl Grant, the coach, the College of Charleston. So, Coach, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Pastor Ken, it's always good to see you.
Yeah, thank you, Coach, too. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcast, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.